This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wang Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Now, Malaysians love their cars despite it being one of the most expensive places in the world to own one. Now, whether it's because we are a nation of petrol heads or out of necessity, that may soon change with car sharing companies in Malaysia. So today in the studio, we have with us Alan Chia, CEO of GoCar, to tell us if this disruptor to the auto industry is here to stay, whether it will realistically change the entire transportation model, and of course, their own plans for growth. Now, welcome to the studio, Alan. I'm going to remind everyone that you were here last on The Breakfast Grill in January 2019. So let's get straight in and get an update on how business is. How many cars do you have in your fleet today?
Right now, we have about 1,000 plus cars, near to about 1,100 across about 7 states. Yeah.
So you did actually kind of keep to what you promised the public, because in a press interview you said 50 cars a month, and that was in April 2018. So thereabouts, I did the back of the envelope calculation.
Wow.
That should mean about 1,250 cars. So you're a little bit short.
Yeah,
so why is that the case?
Well, we are trying to feed the market supply based on demands, right? And we feel that every time we put the cars in, we must allow the car to achieve its full potential before we pump more gas. And based on what we see, right now it's actually doing very well.
Okay, yeah. But what's the target for 2020 then? How many more cars do you need? And is there like an optimum fleet size for you?
No, it really depends on how many states we are planning to go into. So end of this year, we're aiming to achieve 2,000 cars. And maybe scale up to another 2 more states.
Okay, and yeah. I'll come back to that in terms of the states.
Sure.
Now, your fleets, you only have Nissan and Renault. I mean, that's a function of your shareholder, right?
Correct.
Ganchong, because they are the agent for those cars. Now, what about locations? How many do you have? Let's start with Klang Valley first. Have you achieved the density that you want?
No, not yet. There's still so much more for us to go for right now.
So how many locations do you have?
In Klang Valley, we should have about 600 plus locations.
Oh, by this year, or that's your target? Or
that's
currently now?
Currently, that's what we're having. And that includes the number of bays. So that's how we calculate.
Okay, because that's quite a scale up. Because if I looked at the Warisan TC annual report, it was 250 locations at the end of 2018. Mm. So why this acceleration? Is it because you're getting landlords to agree to better pricing, or you've kind of figured out where are the hot spots for Klang Valley?
So it's a mix of both. So the landlord now see the benefit of having us into their buildings. And also because the pricing now has, since they're interested, the pricing has come down. And of course, we have identified all the nice hotspots. So we're scaling up on those locations right now. That's why we're increasing the numbers.
But do you notice any particular like spots which are, like you say, hot spots? Because you know Malaysia is super hot. Nobody wants to walk, right? I mean, let's face it. It rains, it gets hot. They're not much covered walkways. So even where I stay, right? And we discussed this earlier. I have a hesitation because I would have to walk at least 10, 15 minutes up a hill to get to your go-car.
Yeah.
So is there a plan to kind of roll out even more locations? Because in KL, it's a very white city. Everybody
yes.
lives in suburbs, right? It's
correct.
Not. It doesn't have the density of New York, for example.
Correct, correct. Yes, we are planning to do that. We're going to scale up to more locations that's nearer to each other, which means last time, let's say each car is 5 kilometers from each other.
That's too far, right?
That's too far. So now we're going to scale it down to maybe 2.5. Then next stage will be, you know, 1.1 and so on and so forth.
And will the locations be more transportation centric? Because the idea is all about
yes.
last mile connectivity,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
isn't it?
It will be. Yeah.
So I know you have partnerships with KTM, for example.
Correct.
Are there going to be partnerships with, let's say, LRT, MRT? You know, because that would be the perfect thing, right? You come out of the train station.
Yes.
And the go car is waiting for you there.
Actually, we're already in partnership with most of them, right?
Okay.
So the only one that is not in the picture yet is MRT. Yeah.
So would that mean a tie-up, like eventually, even maybe with like SPAD? Because they're in charge of transportation, right?
They are more of the policy makers. So in terms of that, so there will be no partnership in that sense. It's just how to get the policy regulated, or you know, find ways that make the car sharing seems more viable to the current community.
And like you say, you've got, what, 7 states?
Yes, we're in 7 states right now.
So what's next other than the 7 states? What's missing? You know, because you know, how has the growth been outside the Klang Valley?
Actually, been very good, right? If you check us on the weekends, on the public holidays, Penang and Johor is crazy. No matter how many cars we put in, I cannot get a car when I want to travel there for my business work.
So it's actually the locals who use it or tourists? Because, I mean, in the past, let's say you had the first outside of KL location was Langkawi, right?
Correct.
But that's a very tourist-dependent market.
So yes, that was just for a test.
For a test.
Yeah.
So Johor and Penang, I mean, is it
more
just locals?
More locals. Well, to be fair, Johor is a mix and match because of Singaporeans. Penang is actually more locals. We have a lot of people travelling there, those who doesn't want to take the, you know, the long drive up.
Yeah, so they fly in.
Yes, okay. They fly in.
So what's next in terms of the states? Are you going to be nationwide? Are you looking at Sabah, Sarawak perhaps?
Yes, we are. We are. Because in order to facilitate the seamless connectivity, we have to look at all transportation hubs. So that's why we're looking at more states and see where we're going to go next in the next 6 months.
Okay, so if I'm going to hold you accountable, what's next?
We're looking at Sabah, right, okay. For sure. And we're looking in also Malacca, Kelantan. And a few more others.
Okay, yeah. And how many members do you have, Alan? Customers?
As of today?
Yeah, that's very important, right? Because that's equivalent to the dollar sign.
Well, we don't inflate the numbers. So right now, in terms of registered...
I would assume you don't inflate your numbers.
So we always calculate in terms of utilization. So right now, the registered members, we have about 60,000.
60,000.
Yes.
How many are active? The question I ask is because, you know, a large membership doesn't always translate to top line. Let's face it, Malaysians love their promo codes. Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody throws you a promo code and then you're like, okay, I'll sign up. I will, you know, switch on the app. I'll use it that one time, use the promo code and never use it again. So that acquisition cost can actually be a killer for a business like yours,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, we're very careful about that, right? So in terms of that, 20% is always the number we're looking at for every month in terms of utilization and bookings. So out of the 60,000 members, about 20% will be using it.
And they are constantly repeating.
Off and on.
And so, you know, the reason I'm asking this is, you know, do you think you're then too dependent on promo codes to grow your business? Because I see quite a lot of promo codes on your Facebook page.
Yes.
And if you know where to look online, you can find them. Is that the only way to acquire customers?
No.
Or are you looking at other ways?
So we figure out that right now is how to make the pricing actually attractive to the customers. We are throwing promo codes, right? And the promo codes you're looking at is more for new as a user acquisition.
Okay.
Yeah, but after that, we hardly put promo codes out there anymore.
So how are you actually kind of building the brand then, aside from promo codes? Is there like, I think, Go Car community, right? I see that.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
For Go community is basically a project that I'm very inspired with. It's because it's something that we use to contribute back to the community.
So it's like a CSR, but with an agenda.
Yeah, slight agenda. I believe everyone has an agenda. So, yeah.
But then the other thing I want to ask is that, you know, in all your kind of press release or in your interviews, you always say that Go Car is part of this alternative to car ownership.
Correct.
And, you know, part of this multi-flex mode. So people use a combination of public transport, ride hailing, and then car sharing. But do you think we're underestimating the emotional attachment Malaysians have to their cars? Because, you know, car ownership looks like it's here to stay. Last year, 600,000 cars were sold. So ultimately, is there a limit to your growth?
I believe that depends on how, now look at our users, right? It's growing month by month. From last year, January 2019, until today, our user base has grown three times the amount. And yes, there'll be attachment to their cars, and car ownership is actually here to stay. We're not fully replacing it. We're just coming up as another option to car ownership, right? In combination with the rest of the transportation models. So you can't replace car ownership totally, because there are people who love their BMs, people love their petrols, and so on and so forth.
But is there a limit to your growth? I mean, how important is scale, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all talking about covering costs. And you have to get to a certain size for it to really cover your fixed costs. And the other issue is that with this Go car sharing model, you still ultimately have these fixed assets, albeit not
correct.
Parked under Go Car, but maybe provided by your parent.
Yes.
But you isn't it difficult to scale up? Because you're not, you know, you're kind of like a hybrid of a tech company, but yet with fixed assets, unlike the companies like Airbnb and Uber, which are just providing a platform and the technology.
Correct. So what we're looking at is that, like our parent, when they're providing the cars to us, is how can we help them to utilize to its maximum capacity, right? Into utilizing all the resources they have. So in terms of scale part, I can see the growth there. That's why we're able to grow to 1,000 cars. That's why we don't trade with, like, having Tanjong on our side, we can easily throw 5,000 cars, 6,000 cars. Mm. Why do we go in such a way that we pump in 50 cars every month only? Because
it's a measured growth,
right? We're very careful about bottom line as well.
But then, would it be fair for me to say then, from a location mm-hmm. and customer and even fleet size perspective, you are a distant number two in the market after Seoul Car? Are you happy being a runner-up in this car sharing business?
Yeah, right now, you know, we are very happy because for a fact that if you're just chasing numbers, we can easily, again, put more cars on the road. But we are looking at how can we utilize it best and how to, you know, maximize the community that where we put the cars in. We don't want to waste resources after all.
You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Alan Chia, CEO of GoCar. Up next, we are going to ask the hard financial questions. Find out what the burn rate is and what the ultimate goal is. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Alan Chia, CEO of GoCar. Just a moment ago, we were getting an update on the business and whether playing second fiddle in the car sharing business is something that they are willing to contend with. Now, we heard for you, you have another agenda. But, you know, Alan, I want to go back to your business model because, sure. You know, I notice now you operate a kind of a hybrid of the stationary car sharing model, but not exactly floating. So if you rent from a go-car hub, you can return it to another hub, right?
Yes, correct.
But of course, if it's a non-hub, you then have to return it to the same spot. But yes. I looked at the app and I only found 7 hubs in Klang Valley
yes. And
4 in Johor. So still small part of the business. Why aren't there more? Because to me, this makes a lot of sense for a sprawling city like KL, for example.
Well, for the worst thing is stopping us is because we're actually testing out the hubs. And because when you go into a hub, you're not just putting in 1-2 cars. You're putting 5-10 cars at one shot.
So there is definitely more costs involved.
There's more costs involved. And we also must ensure that the tech is actually working. The algorithm is working perfectly. You don't want to pick up one car and then find out there's no space to park.
Okay.
Yeah.
But would you consider what your competitor is doing, which is now they are delivering cars to customers, right? Because there's this issue about, like we said earlier, nobody wants to walk 10, 15 Correct. Minutes in Malaysia to pick up their car. Let's face it, we're a bit lazy, plus it's hot, and sometimes it rains. So is this something they overcome this issue by sending you the car? Is this something you're going to do?
Yeah, we're actually looking into it because we are finding ways on how can I get the car to the customer more efficiently and best of all, in the clean condition.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there are issues, right, when you pick up these car sharing.
Much.
And I have to say Malaysians sometimes are not the most civic-minded.
Yeah, biggest challenge actually.
It is?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, and the other thing is that you also offer Go Car Business and Go Car Subscription.
Correct.
Now, let's start with Go Car Business. How has it been doing? What is it?
Well, GoCar Business is basically it's a business model where we allow people to buy points in advance from us and they distribute it to all their staff and teammates, you know, so they can use GoCar at a reduced rate. And then it helps to align all the expenses together in one sheet and then send it to the HR for expense.
And how many customers do you have? What's the take-up been? Because you only launched it last year, right?
We actually launched it about 2 months back.
Okay.
Right. Right now, we have about 6 to 7 companies that actually took up the offer.
So very early days. Yet.
Very early days. Still testing out a lot of...
Are those 6 to 7 companies Tanjong related?
No.
They're external.
We have a rule where we try to go external before we come back to it.
Okay. And what about Go Car Subscription? You know, how does that work when your parent, Tanjong, also offers it at the respective brand level? Because if I go to Nissan and a Renault website, I can actually sign up for the same service, right?
Correct. Yes.
So are you in competition or is this like a part of a marketing and distribution arm?
So it's basically see which model works best, right? Because as part of a group, we're not just working in silo. We're actually seeing how our synergy can help each other grow.
But the pricing, is it the same? Or
The pricing is dependent on the model. So like how long you take the car for. So in terms of short-term subscription, it's better go for GoCar.
Okay.
In terms of long-term subscription, then it's better go for the Renault subscription as well.
And how has this new business model been doing? Has there been a take-up?
Yes, the take-up has been very good. So the models has changed. The target audience seems to be more expats now.
Okay.
Yeah, not local. Local because they have not seen the benefit of having a subscription model.
Well, yeah, I've seen some reports which say in the longer term, if you plan to keep the car, then buying a car still might be cheaper.
Correct. Exactly.
Right? But of course, there is the convenience of subscription base and also acceptance.
Yes.
Right.
So, well, different market segment.
And the last time you were here, you said that pricing is fixed. So
yes.
Has that changed? Are you adopting a dynamic price model? Of course, like Grab and other e-hailing companies, you know, they take advantage of this demand-supply conditions, right? So is that something you're moving towards? Because
yes.
I couldn't understand the reason or the rationale for fixed pricing.
So that time, we are going to go into actually testing the pricing, right? Right now, we are moving to a dynamic pricing. But what we are doing is basically maintaining our lowest price entry. Because again, you know, the focus is how to make it more inclusive to all layers of society. Yeah.
So
not just gonna
are you then competing with the rest of the car sharing apps on pricing then? Is that your positioning? If
no,
that's the thing?
No, we are not actually.
So how's the price competition been? Is there one or everyone just stays in their own space and it's all about branding, for example?
I'm sure there's some price competition. But again, in running a business, it's all about building your revenues, right? If you just challenge each other on the pricing, then it's not going to be viable for the entire ecosystem. So we do what we can, looking at the cost we have, and also still maintain the lowest price entry in order to service certain customers. Yeah.
So let's say on a 1 year basis, right, compared to, let's say, in January 2019 when you first came in, for the same car, have you had to reduce your prices to compete on a per hour basis or per day basis? Because you rent out on both, right?
Yes, hardly, for the fact that actually our cost is pretty low in terms of maintaining the cars. And also what we did, if you notice that we have something called the GoRap project right now.
Yes.
So that's something that we build up in order to see how we can lower down the price even more. And that's by partnership with all these big corporates where they wrap our cars and then we take the revenues from
the
wraps.
Yeah, I notice if it's an advertised car, it's like, let's say, 59 ringgit
exactly.
a day versus 79 or 99,
exactly.
right? Okay, so companies are kind of paying you to advertise on their behalf.
Yes.
And then the customer benefits.
Yeah, we can't lower the price ourselves because then you just eat into our costs, right? So the best way is to find partners who are similar like us, have the same values.
So would you say you've reached the break-even minutes usage per car per day? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, these cars can't sit idle, right?
Yes.
And financially, it doesn't make any sense to, you know, it being in the parking garage not doing anything. Because you still need to cover all your fixed costs.
Correct. You become a rusted tin can, actually. If you're
yes. So are you there yet?
No, we are not. So this year is very exciting because we brought in a whole new team and we're looking at a lot of leakages.
Ah.
Yeah, right? A lot of leakages.
What were the leakages?
In terms of downtime, maintenance services. Because sometimes when you send a car back for Puspacom service, the car is blocked for like 3 days or a week.
Okay.
Yeah, there's money gone there.
Yes.
So we're looking to tighten that up, how to do the faster turnaround time.
So it's all about efficiency.
Efficiency. Always about efficiency. Yeah.
Okay. And then I want to look a little closer at financials, right? Because I think in the previous Breakfast Grill, you did say that GoCar won't be profitable for a few years. I think it's acceptable for a startup. I'll put
sure.
my hand up. But how long can you last? Because what's your burn rate?
Right now, about 50%.
50%.
Yeah.
Because according to the SSM filings, I did a little digging. Now, GoCar only has assets, but this is based on 2018 because that's the last available financial data I have. You only have assets of 1.1 million versus liabilities of 4.3 million.
Mm.
So do you have the funding to go the distance then?
Yes, we
because
do.
You're not going to be profitable for a few years, right?
Yeah. So
how many years do you have the funding?
At least for 2 years or more, actually. Because right now, our parent is very dedicated into growing this business. And having their support is actually making our life so much easier.
Despite the fact that in 2018, you made a loss of 3.9 million ringgit.
Correct.
Okay. So
I think they're willing to invest that.
So has that number changed, though, in 2019? How soon are you going to break even at an EBITDA level?
Okay. We are actually looking as early as next year.
As early as next year. I'm going to hold you accountable to that, Alan.
Please do.
And do you, now, the other question I have is, do you have the 100% commitment of Warisan TC, which is your major
Correct.
Shareholder,
yes.
in your business plans for GoCar?
Yes.
The reason I ask this is because when I look at Warisan TC's results, they are making a loss for 2019 based on third quarter numbers. So your parent has a loss of 5.7 million this year versus a profit of 5.2 million for the same period in 2018. And this is before the cost of depreciation of the fleet cars that they provide for you start to really bite.
Correct.
So yeah, you know, it helps with their excess inventory, but pumping money indefinitely won't be the case for them, right?
Correct.
So, you know, how much patience do they have?
Well, we just I can't speak on behalf of Raisan on their results and everything, but in terms of the entire group, the Tan Chong group itself, so there are many components we can look at that can support Gokar as a whole, right? So many parts that is coming in is actually like some of our hardware is come from another subsidiary. So in that sense, that's why this integrated network is supporting us a lot more.
And what about GrabCar? Because that's part of the integrated network, right? Of the greater Tan Chong group.
Well, GrabCar is more of the Tan Chong, you know, siblings,
okay,
right? Not so much the group itself.
Okay, so, but is there a clash of cultures when you are owned by an old school company, which is Warisan TC?
Sure.
I mean, they've been in the business since the 1960s. And you are a startup tech company, very obvious. You started, the business started in 2015. So is there a very different way things are being done?
I will admit there is. So in fact, the first year, like I always tell people, right, these past 3 years, the thing I learned the best is stakeholder management. Yeah, I'm very good at it now.
Dealing with the bosses.
Dealing with the bosses. And I realized that as long as you can be transparent with them and gain their trust, they are able to support you even further in terms of building your culture.
So this is a long-term plan, is it?
It's a long-term plan, yeah.
And Alan, what's the eventual game plan for Gokar? Is it a listing, be bought out, or actually even merge with an entity? Because we do see a lot of this exciting news out there. Maybe not in Malaysia, but outside Malaysia.
Well, many things have been floated past the table, right? Especially by my boss, Nicholas Tan. So, I mean, he's looking at a few options. And unfortunately, we have not made a decision on it, what we're looking at. So right now, the focus is just growing the business itself in terms of the end game plan.
Because every startup has an end game plan.
Yeah.
Let's face it. I'm sure you think about it. Your bosses think about it.
Yes.
I mean, how much money have they already put into this business?
Yeah. So, like I say, unfortunately, we are a very different startup. Because we have not raised funds since we've been sold to Tan Chong Group.
Well, you haven't had to because they've been very supportive,
correct,
right? So
exactly.
Just a question, how much money have they pumped in actually?
It's a bit hard to calculate. It would definitely be a couple of millions because for the fact they pump in the assets as well.
Yes.
Right? So that we have not tagged a value to the number of cars that is coming in because it's based on the revenue share model.
Mm.
Yeah.
But then what's the game plan? Do you think it's more what will work better for you? Would an IPO be something that you're gunning for?
In Nick's, especially my boss, because he owns a few companies.
Yes, so and he was an ex-investment banker.
Correct, exactly. So I'm pretty sure that he will have a plan for all the startups under his umbrella in either merging all of us together or... Yeah, that's how far I can see it, right?
And is there a plan to roll out Gokar outside Malaysia?
Yes, we have been doing research, but I don't think it will be that soon.
So what's the next country you think you might go, even if it's not so soon? Because it's all about scale, right?
Yes. So what the things we have been doing research in is actually Myanmar and Vietnam.
Okay, and the policy there, does it work, the government support?
Yeah,
because these are completely new markets,
yes,
right?
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting market. The market size is beautiful, but the policy is something that we have been working on right now. So we're actually learning more about it. That's why I say it's a very preliminary stage. We're still learning whether it's actually viable to go in. Why if suddenly they change their policies then, you know.
Okay, but for the moment, you're happy to be number two in Malaysia then?
Yeah, we're happy to be a good service.
Number two. Okay, on that note, thank you for your time today, Alan, to tell us where Gokar is heading. I am Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.